Live on Aero, presented by Ger Sweeney.
It's Monday evening and the sun is shining here in Spain and we're getting on with things on TRE Talk Radio Europe. But in Ireland, in Galway at Ballybrit Racecourse, they're getting on with things as well. The legendary Galway races kick off this evening. Now, we had absolutely no chance of talking to anybody live. So during the week, I caught up with Sinead Cassidy, who is the sales and marketing manager at Galway Racecourse, to talk to me about the Galway races. And if you're Irish, you must have been to the Galway races. Sinead, how are you?
Oh, hello there. We're great here in Galway in Ireland. Yeah, thank you. And it's good to connect with you.
Absolutely. Sure, look, the Galway races is legendary at this stage. And you don't have to be a racing person. I certainly am not a racing person. But I've been to the races on many occasions. So it's great to talk to you. And are you buzzing?
We are, you know, for this. This is our Christmas. it's a week that we all love. It's a realisation of everything we've been planning this last year. And can you believe we're 149 this summer?
Oh,
so
wow.
We're celebrating our 150th next year. So, you know, the Galway races is hugely steeped in nostalgia, as you know, and tradition. And thank God, you know, we got 140. Well, last year we had 145,000 people attend our week-long event. So yeah, there's something special about the Galway races that draws you in.
People book their holidays in advance so they can be in Galway. People book hotel and accommodation and all sorts of things just so that they can be there to savour the atmosphere. It must be wonderful being part of that machine.
You know, I'm very fortunate. I'm a Galway girl. Moved away for 9 years and came back some years ago. And this, to work here, I'm not just saying like it's a privilege. I've been coming here as a little girl, went to Pony Club here. Yeah, people prepare almost religiously for it every year. As you said, holidays are planned, budgets are set, and business is scheduled around our week-long festival. So it is, it's a huge privilege to work here. But also, you know, we have a huge devotion of supporters, both in terms of sponsors and also the people of Galway. We get huge support from businesses in the city and all over. I mean, they come from near and far for the festival in Galway.
I remember many years ago when I was but a pup, I worked in car rental in Shannon Airport. And I remember the jockeys used to be flying in from London in the early flights, and you get chatting with them and get tips from them. And so it's kind of just, it affects everybody in Ireland, the Galway races, because people are looking for tips and they're watching the papers and listening to the radio.
Yeah.
It's just, it's absolutely brilliant. Now, I'm going to name a couple of things that people will be familiar with. So you'd have the Galway Plate, which is Wednesday afternoon.
Right. We've actually moved that out now by 2 hours. So it's now an evening meet. So
okay.
The tote.com Galway Plate, yeah, but the board made that decision. And the reason being is that our evening meets, such as Monday, Tuesday, Friday, were all climbing in attendance and growing.
Right.
And the Wednesday was just remaining static. So, you know, us here in Galway, we just wanted to do some research and have a reshuffle of things. So that meeting is now 2 hours later, which gives people a chance to come racing, so that they no longer have to take a half day. So it's great. You can go to do your day's work, finish up, and then be here for the first race at just after 5 o'clock.
You're good at it. You're good. There's no getting away from it. Ladies' Day, Ladies' Day is Thursday, and that's a day that everybody looks forward to, isn't it?
Oh God, Ladies' Day is where you see the wildest and most glamorous outfits appear here in Galway. It's fab. It's huge. I mean, it's a monster of a day. People plan. I'm not joking you. As soon as we announce our dates for, say, next year, people will be ringing up and finding out who's judging, even though we haven't announced a new judge yet. You know, what are they looking for? I'm not joking you, the amount of phone calls we get when we go out with our press release on Ladies' Day is huge. It is a huge following. It's kind of one of the big social diary dates for people who love to dress up. They love to come here to Galway every year.
Absolutely. And who is judging this year?
This year we're very fortunate. We have Chanel Lady McCoy, you know, another Galway girl and a very accomplished businesswoman. So she's judging here as guests of the G Hotel. Many of you would know Tony McCoy. It's his wife.
Okay.
So she's gotcha. Judging here on Ladies' Day, yeah.
Oh, very good. The Fianna Fáil tent of years ago, very famous as well. That's kind of, I know they got rid of it for a long time, but it's back again, isn't it?
No, the Fianna Fáil tent never came back.
Oh.
No, what we have this year, the big news this year is we have a fabulous new building that we're revealing. It was a 6 million redevelopment project that was supported by the Galway Race Committee and with the backing of Horse Racing Ireland. So we officially opened that to our race goers. So it's called the Wilson Lynch Building, and it's named after the man who donated the land to the Galway Committee all those years ago.
Right.
So on the ground floor, there's fabulous new facilities for our race goers. We have a new betting hall, tote betting, a new coffee dock. It can take over 2,000 people on the ground floor, and then a really beautiful, open to everyone champagne bar on the top floor. where we've also put in a mini grand piano. So there'll be many a tune sung up there during race week.
I'd say there will. Now, people come to Galway or go to Galway for race week and never go to Ballybrit. That's part of it as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, the latest figures that we got in terms of our research and then the value to the local economy is that Galway Race Week contributes 54 million.
Wow.
You know, we're very fortunate, as I said, yeah, the people of Galway get behind us. There's a very special relationship there between the race course and the town. And yeah, people tend, they come to Galway and they book to go racing. Some might stay on in town if they're having too much a good time. But the majority of people that love the festival atmosphere, that electric vibe that's here in the race course, they come out to join in. And then after racing, they'll go back into town again to continue the fun and frolics in town.
Have you any idea how many pints are pulled during the week at the races?
Well, you know, we issue every year our infographic. And would you believe we've been told that 160,000 pints are pulled here on site, and we've 70,000 meals are served, and
champagne.
Yeah, so
have you a figure for champagne? Because a lot of champagne is consumed.
Yeah, 5,000 bottles of champagne.
Oh, wow.
So this year, I imagine, it'll be a hell of a lot more because of this lovely new Moët & Chandon champagne bar opening.
Oh, every chance you get, you stick an old plug in there. Fair play to you.
Hey, I'm only doing my job.
Indeed you are. Numbers-wise, 145,000 last year. Are you expecting it to grow this year?
You know, it would be great just to retain that and grow it if we can. We've lots of new things on offer this year. We even have an opening performance in the parade ring by the Galway Tenors to Ireland's Call. We've, you know, 40 live music performances throughout the week. It would be great to retain that and grow it somewhat. You know, we just want a safe week for people, for the horses, and essentially we just want people to have a great time. That's what we're here, and we're very proud to present the festival to everyone this summer.
Well, can I say to you, not often I say this, but I wouldn't mind being back in Galway now this week.
I know, grab a hold of a plane and get yourself over here.
If it were only that safe. Actually, yeah, one of the figures that I got was that there was about 150 helicopter landings. So if you want to send one of them over for me, happily, I'll go back.
We'll send a chopper. Just get a sponsor in your way in a hat.
And that's all you have to do. Listen, Sinead, I really do appreciate you taking time out in a couple of days before the Galway races started to be able to bring this to our listeners on this Monday evening here on Talk Radio Europe. I wish you a hugely successful festival. I hope
Thank
that everybody
you.
Has a wonderful and a safe time. I hope there is lots of money won. And most of all, I hope that you enjoy it. Now, the big question that I would have for you, Sinead, is that obviously when this is all finished, you don't do anything for the rest of the year up there, do you?
Oh, God. You know, this year, we're really lucky. We're putting our focus after the summer festival into a new 3-day October festival. And that kicks off on the Saturday, the 27th of October.
Right.
So that's it's a new 3-day festival for us here. And we are putting a lot of focus into that because one of the days is going to be all in aid of breast cancer research.
Okay.
So it's very much a passion project for the team here. So, once we finish racing for the summer, we'll be switching gear and looking to rev things up for the October festival.
Well, keep my details to hand because if you would like to link in with us again before that, just to give it a mention and also to tell us how this year's Galway Race Festival went, I'd be very much happy to talk to you. All right.
Okay, adios.
Adios.
Enjoy that Spanish sometime.
Sinead, thank you very much. Indeed. Bye bye now.
Pleasure. Bye bye.
And as I rode out through Galway town to seek for recreation on the 17th of August, me mind being elevated, there were multitudes assembled with their tickets at the station, and me eyes began to dazzle, and they go to see the races. Timmy Whack, Father Do, Father Jiggery Idle Day. There were passengers from Limerick and passengers from Nina, passengers from Dublin and sportsmen from Tipperary. There were passengers from Kerry and all quarters of the nation. And our member, Mr. Hardy, fought to join the Galway Blazers. Timmy Whack, Baldadoo, Baldadinnery, Idle Day. There were multitudes from Arran and members from New Keyshore, the boys of Connemara and the Clare unmarried maidens. People from Cork City who were loyal, true and faithful, they brought home the Fenian prisoners from dying in foreign nations. Timmy Whack, Baldadoo, Baldadinnery, Idle Day. And it's there you see confectioners with sugar sticks and dainties, the lozenges and oranges, the lemonade and raisins. gingerbread and spices to accommodate the ladies and the big crew bean frost robins to be sucking while you're able to me whack. Fal-de-do, fal-de-diddly-idle-day. And it's there you'll see the gamblers, the thimbles and the garters, and the sporting wheel of fortune with the 24 quarters. There was others without scruple pelting wattles at poor Maggie, and our daddy well contented to be gawking at his daughter Timmy Whack. Fal-de-do, fal-de-diddly-idle-day. And it's there you'll see the pipers and the fiddlers competing, the nimble for the dancers and the trippin' on the daisies. There was others shouting cigars and lights and bills for all the races, with the colours of the jockey and the price and horses' ages. Timmy Whack, fal-de-do, fal-de-diddly-idle-day. And it's there you'll see the jockeys, and they mounted on so statelily, the pink, the blue, the orange and green, the emblem of our nation. When the bell was rung for starting, all the horses seemed impatient. I thought they never stood on ground, the speed was so amazing. Timmy Whack, fal-de-do, fal-de-diddly-idle-day. There was 500,000 people there of all denominations, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew and Presbyterian. There was yet no animosity, no matter what persuasion, but wild hospitality inducing Mr. Paisley. Timmy Whack, fal-de-do, fal-de-diddly-idle-day. And Timmy Whack,
live on Era, presented by Jerry Sweeney. Live on Era, presented by Jerry Sweeney.
Well, it's almost that time, almost time to say goodbye to you. But before we do, we have one more feature left, and that is, of course, to look at where we are with Brexit and Ireland. And joining me on the phone right now is Peter O'Dwyer, the senior business reporter with the Times Ireland edition. Peter, nice to have your company again on this Monday evening. How are you?
I'm very well, Ger. Thank you.
Good. It's been a busy old few weeks over the last couple of weeks in relation to Ireland and Brexit. I don't know whether it is because of the summertime or what, but not as busy a week this week.
No, we all seem to take a little bit of a breath and just collect ourselves this week, thankfully, which was much needed after the hectic nature of the ones that went before it. So this week, Leo Varadkar went on a bit of a trip across Europe to not necessarily drum up support, I suppose, for the Irish position, but to just copper fasten it and make sure that it still is as strong as ever. He was in Bucharest in Romania, he was in Zagreb in Croatia, and he was in both Venice and Rome in Italy. So three separate EU governments. And it was kind of more of the same, I suppose. He did manage to clarify that support still existed. All three governments came out and backed Ireland's position 100%. While he was away, there was talk that emerged of the possibility of an extension to the Article 50 timeline being granted, which essentially would mean that rather than the UK leaving the EU next March, as we all expect, potentially that deadline could be pushed forward. Simon Cove, Neil, Foreign Affairs Minister, first mentioned it on RT Radio during the week. He was asked about it rather than bringing it up, and he said that he would have no problem essentially with it. He did stress that it would be up to the UK to ask for such an extension. No request had been made, and that really we should all stick to the timelines as they currently exist. Right. Varadkar was asked about it while he was in Italy, I think, and he said something along the same lines. He also said that he was pretty confident, despite everything that we've spoken about in recent weeks. He said on the balance of probabilities, he expected that a deal could still be done in terms of the UK's withdrawal by October. And he said that if it came to it again, that the extension would be preferable to a no-deal scenario, right, but that he felt that it probably wouldn't come to that. So it was interesting that I think that was either Wednesday or Thursday while he was making those comments. And simultaneously, almost in Brussels, the first meeting was taking place between Dominic Raab, the new Brexit secretary, and Michel Barnier. They had quite a bizarre press conference where they came out, projected a united front, did more of the same, that, you know, the meeting had gone well, or at least as well as could be expected. Mm-hmm. The EU and the UK were best of friends, all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But then proceeded to contradict each other almost at every turn. So, for example, Raab would have his chance to speak and would say, yes, absolutely, I think a deal can be done on the Irish border question, but it must apply to the UK as a whole rather than just the Northern Ireland, and it must be time limited. And then Barnier would say, yes, absolutely, I agree that a deal could be done, but absolutely it cannot apply to the UK at all, as a whole, and it cannot be time limited. So it was a very bizarre press conference, and it was just served to illustrate again the kind of intractable nature of the Irish border issue which we've been dealing with for months now at this stage.
All right. And Dominic Raab, he was on front of some committee earlier in the week, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was being grilled across the water in Westminster. It was quite a remarkable situation, I suppose, when you just take a step back and look at what exactly he was saying. He was being asked about this question of whether the UK government was stockpiling food in the event of a no deal scenario. And he kind of tied himself up in knots a little bit, but essentially by the end of it, he had said, well, it's not quite accurate to say that the UK government is the one stockpiling. There is stockpiling going on. That kind of crystallizes again that a wealthy EU nation in 2018 has made a decision for better or for worse, but one of the outcomes of it is that this wealthy EU nation in 2018 now has to stockpile food and medicines in case things don't go well. So it was interesting. He also had a bit of a faux pas where he was being asked again about the border issue, and he said that Ireland and everybody else could rest assured that they would not put a border down the Red Sea. And everybody laughed at him, and then he realised his mistake and said Irish Sea. Right. So I suppose just a slip of the tongue, but still not a great look for the new Brexit minister.
I suppose not. Alrighty. So a relatively quiet week for us this week. Sure, look, we'll see what happens, and you'll join us again next week, hopefully, for a further update.
Absolutely, Ger. Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Peter O'Dwyer, the senior business reporter with the Times Ireland Edition, giving us an update on Ireland and Brexit. And before I go, sometimes I like to tell you about things that I learned while listening to Talk Radio Europe during the previous week. The origins of the word catastrophe and other words like explode, tragedy, and orchestra all come from the theatre. That's according to a guest that Dave Hodgson had on during the week. Hannah on Daybreak told us during the week that there are 266,682 different ways to tie a tie. Listening to Giles, we heard that there were 10,000 people working in Bletchley Park during the war, that fabulous facility, and they deciphered in the region of 4,000 messages every day. And finally, the learning started immediately after the programme last Monday. I was listening to Jill as I was tidying up and doing bits and pieces. And we learned that 85% of women are wearing the wrong size bra. You see, the things you learn listening to Talk Radio Europe. Thank you to my guests on the programme today. Thank you for listening. Thank you as well to our Spanish cultural consultant. That's Jose Antonio Sierra. And you'll be hearing a lot more from him and about him over the next few weeks on the programme. Look after yourselves. Have a super week. Don't go anywhere. Lots more coming up on TRE this evening. Look forward to your company again this time next week. Bye-bye now.